I've been waiting on this.
I've been waiting too. What's going on, people? It's your boy Izzy.
It's your boy Tez.
And this is the Tez and Izzy Show. We are back with another one.
We're back.
Ah, it feels good to be back.
Mm.
Because this Easter has been quite boring for me.
Really?
Nothing has really happened. I've just been procrastinating at home, laying in bed.
Yeah, you know, I'm really stressed out about that.
What do you
procrastinate?
Mean? Procrastinate. Oh, right.
I feel it, bro.
How many exams do you have?
Three.
So you should realistically be okay in terms of studying.
Cause yeah.
It's not that many.
Yeah, it's just three.
But today, I'm excited especially because we have an amazing guest.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing guest.
Let people know.
I've been waiting a long time to get this person on the show. Mm. And it's an honor to finally have her. this person is an international multiple instrumentalist.
Well, no.
Which includes the triangle.
The triangle.
She is a Hillsong drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
She is a Portsmouth champion skateboarder.
Hey. Wow, what? Hey.
She's
hey.
A fashion icon.
Hey, the best of
the prophets.
Nah, this is
KP!
KP!
Crystal Pebble.
This is too much. Please, I'm just Crystal a student.
Hey.
Nah, I'm just a student.
How you doing?
International, huh? Hey, guys, I promise you, I'm just a student.
Oh,
okay?
My God. That's all. Yo, that's that was probably my funnest intro, man.
Right? Honestly.
Because that's all true.
Hey.
Right?
That's all true.
Wow.
I've seen you prophetize before.
Prophetize.
You said prophetize.
Mm-hmm. We didn't take you to church. That's a prophetize.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, how you been?
Hey, I'm good. As Taz said, we're just trying to get these exams.
Yeah, man. How many do you have in total?
I only have three as well.
Okay.
All right,
that's three as well, yeah. So
should be fine, but you know when you need to start revising.
Yeah, haven't started. But I thought a great way to get this episode started would be by doing a nice little game.
Hey.
If you're down. So basically, I'm going to ask you three questions, and you can veto only one of them. But just saying, in the past episodes, none of them have vetoed questions.
Just saying.
Just why I tell you that.
So do I hear all of them first, or I just have to...
No.
You only...
That's the trick.
Yeah. All right, are you ready?
Aye.
Have you ever wished that you were white?
Lol. Yes.
Why is
that? I went to a white girls' boarding school.
Oh, damn.
Really?
Okay, it wasn't a white girls' boarding school. I went to a private boarding school in Hertfordshire.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Of course. Okay, but to be fair, the main reason was because of my hair. White girls get their hair too easy.
Mm.
You could shave it and it'll grow back in like 6 hours. Black girls, I've been growing my hair since I left my mother's tummy. And it's still the same. So
the main reason was because of the hair. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's interesting.
I like that. Have you ever worn a wig, or would you ever wear one in the future?
Nope. If I wear them, it's for banter. I normally off other people's wigs. So now I know if I get one, it will be offed by someone who's trying
offed.
To get revenge.
Yeah, it will be offed.
That is funny.
I've heard of adding people. It's not nice.
Oh, wigs are funny, man. They're serious now, so...
You know, I'm so happy there's a girl who actually is on this, like, wave as well.
Yeah.
Of fake wigs.
No.
We can't say that. So it's nice
so
to hear you
yeah,
say
like
that.
Yeah, but some of my friends off their own wigs now, they're just...
Yeah.
In the library, they'll be studying and their wig is next to them on the desk. Yeah.
Your life is stressful sometimes,
yeah,
man.
You gotta take it off, man.
Gotta
breathe.
All right, last question. Would you rather be raised in the jungle for the first 10 years of your life or the last 10 years of your life live in the jungle?
Hey. I guess the first 10 years?
Really?
The last 10 years is dead, like.
But I feel like the first 10 years, like, that's when you learn everything. So imagine
yeah,
not having savage. That knowledge. You literally be Tarzan.
Yeah.
But imagine... Like you'd be pretty cool. You'd probably get some like movies made out.
You wouldn't know though.
You'd get some books. But then your last 10 years, you've had a lit life, everything, and then you just have to dip, cut everything off. Phew.
Yeah, it's a hard one. But
yeah, who knows?
I don't know, man.
Hmm.
Maybe I'll say the last 10 years for me.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like I don't know. I'll be an animal. Do you understand? Like an animal.
But you can be taught.
I don't know, man. Because that 10 years when you like you learn literally the most that you have, that you will ever learn. So,
I think you can be taught.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, KP
I won't become the best, but you can be taught still, though.
KP the prophet.
Hey, these are these times.
Anyway, well done for doing that again. You did pass. Yeah. I don't know what the passing criteria is.
Yeah.
But
don't worry. All two questions.
Yeah, can you just tell the listeners what you do and how old you are? Just a little bit about you.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not an international... I'm a third year pharmacy student at uni. I'm 20 years old, originally from North London. And yeah, I'm out here trying to get this bread...
What is bread for listeners?
Hey, I actually don't even know. What is bread? Is it just coin? Yeah, like money? Yeah. I'm not working. I'm trying to get my grades, so that's what I'm doing. Mom and Dad, I'm getting my grades. And then I'm just busy. I'm involved in the gospel choir here. I'm involved in church. As I said, I play drums for church and help lead like connect groups and things like that.
Nice, nice. Beautiful. So you mentioned that you... you're raised in North London.
Yes.
How's that?
Ends.
That's proper Ends.
Ends.
That's Tottenham. Was it
Enfield?
Tottenham? Enfield.
Yeah, living there.
Enfield's not too bad. Well, as I saw it.
To be fair, yeah, it's like every area. You have some good parts, you have some bad parts,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, of course, of course.
But, I grew up in Enfield. That's kind of just what I knew, isn't it? So I feel very blessed to be in London and, like, grow up in that kind of environment. I know when I come to uni or like when I went to boarding school, I'm like, wow, people don't know things.
Yeah.
Really? It's like that.
Yeah. People don't know things, man.
Mm. Well, what sort of things? Please, elaborate.
Hey! I don't know, like, people don't know how to...
Words.
No, yeah, even just a general knowledge of the world and... like, how to get on with people and know to be with people of different backgrounds. Like, obviously, London's so diverse.
Yeah.
You know, people of different backgrounds, religions, cultures. But when you go to places like Hertfordshire, it's kind of like the typical, you know, white male middle class.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, they don't really know much different things and spend a lot of time explaining things.
Wait, so why did you go to Hertfordshire boarding school?
Yeah.
From North London? What's the...
I have an older brother. And he went to a boarding school. And whenever, like, we used to drop him off, I was like, I want to go to a boarding school.
Oh.
So my dad, like, just set out to find me one. And technically, because we're quite high up in North London, so it was only, like, 20 minutes away from us.
Mm.
I just loved it. Mm. So I wasn't thrown into a boarding school. That's
okay, yeah. That's what I wanted to go.
No, yeah.
All right, cool.
But, yeah. No, I was still from London town, though. Even in Hertfordshire.
What's been your favourite memory of North London raising up?
That's a serious one.
Because I'm sure some crazy stuff happened.
I mean, yeah, it's not good or bad. Both. I don't know, it's just the mix of, I feel like, I guess because London, we're blessed with TFL.
Yes.
Well, there can be a curse sometimes. But we're blessed with TFL in it. So yeah. We can go anywhere and all the time. In my summers, like, just going London, around London, doing things. But the guys who are in, like, Hertfordshire, they have to ask their mum 3 to 4 business days before get them to be like, oh, I'm going A to B, they have to drive them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we could go and do anything, anytime. Go to Central, go to South. Well, we won't go South, but...
No one goes South, bro. No one goes South.
It was really like that.
Yeah, man. Peckham, oh, yeah. About, yeah. Let me not talk about that.
We respect the South.
Hey, South London.
There was a rumor going around that I heard that used to be a bully back in secondary
school. Wow,
bully
kids, KB. I know exactly. There's no rumor going around. There's a person, and I know this person. I'll come for them. Don't worry.
I don't know. Like,
we don't know. We just heard you used to bully the kids.
Okay, it's not even like that.
Is there any truth to those claims?
Right, to be fair, let's go back a bit, okay? I was bullied before I ever became a bully.
Oh!
Yeah! Okay, that's
so
right.
Wait, so you admitted to bully? Okay.
She used to bully the kids, bro.
I've only bullied like 2 people my whole life. One because she was a freshie, but I didn't really know Christ like that. She was fresh, isn't it? So I was just like, I'd be a bit mean sometimes. And the other one who told you this information, it was just character building.
I have never heard those
character building. Wow, what? Honestly.
What? So at that time you thought, yeah, this is for your character
building.
Oh my
gosh. I love them both dearly. We're both best friends now.
Okay,
it's just funny.
But yeah, funny. I was bullied first
by
some girl in my primary school.
Why?
I don't know.
What? You don't know who you're bullied by?
I thought you asked why was I bullied.
No, I said was she white?
Oh!
I know, I heard white too. I'll let you.
Oh,
I heard white.
Was she white? Yes, she was.
Oh, okay. So that why? Wasn't like racist kind of bullying or...
No. I guess it could have been, but no. I don't remember her calling me the N-word or anything like that.
Okay. Mm.
No.
And was that for character building?
Hey! My character was destroyed. It was a built.
Oh my goodness.
But it's cool. God was with me.
Well, that's good. Mm. So, did you genuinely enjoy secondary school?
Oh, I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it, yeah.
And then sixth form?
Yeah.
Enjoyed that as well?
It was year 7 to 13. Yeah. It was lit. All my kids had to go boarding school. It was lit.
Really?
Yeah, man.
All 11 of them.
Hey!
12? Wait, what do you mean?
I've even got what? 12 now? 12 kids. Yeah.
You want 12 kids?
I would love 12 kids.
Just a little background information. What KP the... wants like 12 kids.
They don't all have to come from my women bits, but 12 kids.
Why? Oh, for like the disciples or?
Wow!
Is that what you're doing?
Like, not necessarily, but.
You want 12 little disciples running around your house?
Normally I say football team. Actually, how many are on a football team?
11,
yeah. Plus you know, and a sub. Yeah. Oh, manager. I'm the manager.
Just a reserve, you know what I'm saying? Just in case.
Just a sub.
Oh my god, that's funny. And then, what made you choose, like, Portsmouth University? Out of all the unis out there,
hey,
why this island city?
Oh, wow, you made it sound like we're about made us. This island city. like most people, not gonna lie, I didn't choose Portsmouth as my first uni.
Everyone says
that.
Yeah. It's like... quite sad.
No one likes his uni.
Right?
It's so sad.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like a flop that I chose his uni.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. Everyone that says
it's
that
first. Everyone that lands up here like, okay. Everyone's like, okay, I'm here now.
Oh wow, you didn't God. Even aim for the sky, you aim for the cloud. No, I'm joking.
It's cool. Character building.
Don't label me with me. But no, but I thank God so much because I initially applied to do biomed at Warwick. But then literally so my results flopped anyway, so I was going Portsmouth.
Okay.
But then 2 weeks before I started uni, it's a long story, but basically a random person came in and was like, KB, you have to do pharmacy. I was like, okay, cool.
You just took that like that.
Yeah. It was just gone at the moment, you know what I mean? Okay. I was like, oh, okay, this doesn't make sense. But I feel like the Lord is, you know, in control of this.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then even if I went Warwick, they don't do pharmacy.
Right.
And they only do biomed. So I was like, oh, I kind of just feel like God was ordering my steps the whole time anyway. Mm. So by the time coming to uni, I was just like, hey, this is where I'm meant to be. Let's roll. Island City.
And so far, do you regret coming here? Or
oh, no.
Do you think it's the right choice?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. I only put on my UCAS because I was like, oh, I can skate along the beach. And it's close to my grandma who lives in Bournemouth.
Oh,
that was
wow.
The only two reasons why I put it on UCAS. I promise you.
And you still got it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Damn.
No, God is serious, even when I'm not.
Honestly. What was your expectations of uni before you came? Did you think it was going to be rowdy? Or did you know it's going to be like what it is?
Well, is uni not rowdy?
It depends who you are.
Yeah,
right?
Honestly.
Depends true, on your character. What you make it, yeah.
Yeah.
I did think, oh, it's going to be carnage. Because so many people go to uni and they change or, you know, they disappear or like...
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, they're totally... I don't know, like, people will find themselves or lose themselves.
Literally, oh my God.
So I knew it was carnage, like, make or break.
Yeah.
But...
Would you say, you retain much of yourself?
First year was a struggle.
We knew each other first year.
Yeah? Yeah, we did through church.
Why are you saying yeah, like, oh, question mark?
Listen, it's been like 3 years now.
Yeah. I saw you outside of a club.
I remember that day, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
I remember it, at least.
Okay. But yeah, like, that was weird seeing you outside, because I could never imagine you outside of a club.
Well, only inside.
No, as in, like, I can never imagine you going out clubbing.
There's, yeah.
So, when I saw
what were you,
you
doing out, Izzy?
I was imagining.
What were you doing?
I was going to say evangelizing. I just
hey. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, enough about me. So, yeah, like, and now clubbing is just not for you.
Fam.
So what was that? Why was there like a change? Why do you maintain the clubbing experience?
Not gonna lie, guys, it was my fault. It was my fault. I was too, before going to uni, I was like, that would never be me in it.
Mm.
Like, I was like, I know myself and the Lord. Mm. I got my armor of God.
Mm.
But now I flopped. The devil was like, see pride, let me take it. But no, yeah, I was quite heavily involved in club culture.
Yeah.
And going out and drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, every time the Holy Spirit would convict me.
Mm.
Every time. But I, like, ignored it for, like, a good, like, 10 months. And then,
That's a while.
Yeah.
I know. We thank God for exam season, because you know you can't go out there.
Literally.
Yeah, honestly.
But, no, yeah, and then in the summer, I was literally just, I was at church, some worship event. And just in the middle of worship, I just fell on my knees. And I felt the Holy Spirit just convict me heavily. With just the sin of me disobeying him and the sin of me of not listening to his voice and when he's been convicting me. And it's like he just dropped like the weight of sin off my chest in worship. And I was just in tears and I was crying. I was like, Lord, may you help me? And yeah, ever since that day, I was like, you know, I'm not going to drink at all. Mm. And clubbing is just not for me.
I get that. It's funny how God does that. He puts all the sin.
Fam, it was a lot, let me not lie.
Really?
Really?
Did you, was that in Harbour Church that you cried?
No, my church back home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Izzy, it was serious.
And, you know, with the whole struggle of clubbing and getting over that, what other uni struggles have you encountered so far?
That went deep on you? I mean, yeah, I think the main one was that whole culture. But besides that, I guess spiritually it was kind of just being quite complacent and quite lukewarm, I guess.
Yeah.
Just like, even in the first year, like say, we met through Harbour, but I wasn't really on it every Sunday, every now and again, church hopping, things like that.
Mm.
So it's just like, oh, you know, no one's at home. I mean, no one from home can you know, watch you and see how you're doing spiritually, so you can just get away with, you know, doing whatever you want. Oh, I guess it's
the freedom.
Yeah. It can be dangerous.
Honestly.
So how do you deal with, or how did you deal with those struggles?
Through the Lord.
Amen.
Hey! Hallelujah!
I like that.
Hallelujah. No, yeah. I always make my first point of call God, always.
Right.
So I was just like, okay, God, you need to change me. You need to help me.
Yeah.
And you need to help me to be disciplined. And then, yeah, so obviously taking those steps of being like, okay, I'm going to get involved in church properly now.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a church, call it home, and get involved. And then in my private spiritual life, you'd be like, I need to be on it. You know, praying, reading your Bible, whatever it takes to just keep on track.
Mm.
And yeah.
You say, like, I feel like sometimes people will, like, pray to God, and then, like, they expect it to happen overnight. Did it work like that?
Yeah,
it
was, like, no.
It took a while.
Oh, yeah, I'm still being worked on.
Yeah.
It's serious. Especially when it comes to discipline, like, hey. It's hard, isn't it? But, God's always working. It's always working. It's always teaching me, constantly speaking. So I'm just, like, you know, when I choose to listen and obey, there's steps forward.
Mm. And would you agree that you probably have to take, like, the first step yourself?
Yeah.
Really? I feel like people are just waiting to, like, oh, I feel like being serious.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to step when you're not being serious.
Yeah, that literally. One annoys me, you know? I was talking to a bad
people. You can't make control of that.
Yeah.
They think, like, I mean, ultimately, God already took the first step.
Yeah.
Is it ultimately? So it's like, whatever we do is technically a response to him.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's always doing that. It's like, I can't force you, you know, to be my child. You have to choose. Yeah. So it's like, everyone out there that's always like, oh, I want to be serious, you know? Or they're like, oh, KPL, how you always go to church? I would love to be able to do that. So I'm like, huh?
No one's stopping you. stopping you.
Sunday 10:30, Sunday 6 p.m. Come on, please.
4 p.m. if you're young.
There's technically no excuse. Although that could be harsh, it's like, you really get to
isn't.
Choose.
It really isn't.
No, I hear that. I've obviously seen your growth from first year to
hey. So now, Pastor Izzy, yeah?
And it's just amazing to see like what God has done in your life. But it got me thinking, like, did you find it awkward staying that like, you were a Christian in the first year when you first started university because you didn't want to have that image on you or that stigma?
Fizz, actually, no.
Cool.
But probably because I've always, like, grown up, Christian home, being in church, I've always been pretty, like...
It is what it is.
Obvious, like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I would be drunk and I would be, like, telling people about the love of God. Like, I don't know, I've never been able to hide it. Yeah, although those times, maybe I should have. But, but like, I was never able to hide it. I've always just told everyone. Yeah.
That's good. Because sometimes I feel like there's people out there who do find it hard to talk about their faith in conversation with their non-Christian friends. And, like, I'm just like, why is it so hard for you? You know, that's why I ask. Why do you think people hesitate to kind of mention their faith in those conversations with their friends?
I guess, like, if I ever did have a... what kind of English was that?
If I ever did hesitate,
it was probably because I felt like, you know, maybe, you know, I did something bad, I'm unholy, I'm unrighteous, I'm going to be judged. Or, like, same first year, if I ever did hesitate, it was like, oh, but they see me going out every night.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to give them, you know, the wrong idea. So I might just hide that. So I guess a lot of people kind of feel like they're not good enough, you know, to be, like, a representation of Christianity. Because I guess you do carry a lot when you say I'm a Christian.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are watching and I guess sometimes you're the only reference they have.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they've never grown up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally Jesus sometimes.
Hey, it's true, you know?
And then, like, at the other end, you don't want to force your religion onto
on them,
people.
Yeah.
So then how can we as Christians or the people in university, how can you talk about your faith without giving off that kind of... like pushing it down the throat kind of vibe. How do you think is, what's the easiest way to do that?
I guess like what I've experienced, when I've just been like chatting with people, I feel like I've turned into like a church auntie. Like, you know, one of them that like can't speak without bringing God into it.
Yeah.
Like I've kind of just turned into one of them and it's just, whether you're a person that people go to for advice, rather than just being like, oh, you know, be positive, you know, you can do it. I'm kind of like, the only way I can get through things like that is through God. The only way I can, you know, overcome these things is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but share my testimony. Like, I think it's just sharing your own testimony. They can't say it's incorrect because it's obviously your only word.
Yeah.
And it's like, they can't, I think that's my biggest, like, almost evangelism tool is like just sharing my own testimony and be like, oh, you've suffered. I mean, I haven't suffered with depression, but if someone's suffered with depression, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I overcame that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through reading the word and communion with the church and stuff like that. And yeah, I think that's the biggest evangelism tool.
Just like a side question on evangelism, would you feel like sometimes you have to like kind of like, because you, I can hear you using words like communing and all that. I feel like
yeah,
you have to kind of make it relatable. Is that a challenge sometimes? Like trying to like stay away from like Christian language and make it sound like, you know,
it's true,
very realistic.
Yeah, that's true. When you're coming up talking about God and then the tabernacle of Christ,
Holy Ghost
for
fire.
The redemption of God and the rapture will come. That's a bit.
Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful with who you talk to. But then sometimes like that stuff is. It's like useful for certain situations.
Yeah.
So it depends who you're talking to. Because in like African churches, for example, that's the lingo. You gotta use that lingo, bro.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's you're just that person.
Honestly, no, I love African churches, man. We be 6 years old talking about the maddest Old Testament stories. Elisha and the jars of oil. You're
right,
like,
they really be doing that. I don't know.
I love it.
But don't you think it's funny that like. In Africa, when people like use that kind of like rapture and all that, people accept it. You know what I mean? Where it's like, people look at you and say, like, Yeah, because even non-Christians in Africa, if they went to a church for the first time, they heard all that. They know it. You'll still be like, okay, fine. You know what I mean? But he's like, okay, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving. You know what I mean?
I hear that.
I mean, like, Pensa is probably the equivalent of an African church in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Would you not say?
Yeah.
And I asked someone else this question before, but let's say someone from Harbour Church, a new Christian, came over to Pensa. How do you think that they would survive? Or do you, would they survive?
No, I'm joking. listen. Oh, bless him, bless him, bless him. They will have bare questions, isn't it? It's a lot.
It's 6 to 9, firstly, so like 3 hours compared to the average 1.5 hours. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Because there's a lot of spiritual movement that the...
If you're a new Christian,
it's
a different.
It's a whole different world.
Really. Yeah, it really is a whole different world.
I mean, I guess that's why we have so many English is a hard language. So many denominations.
Oh, that's what you're gonna say.
Yeah, so that we can reach different people. Because what I found like with Pensa, what I love about Pensa is that they've been reconnecting all of like students and all these people who've grown up in the church but have walked away of not actually knowing God in their heart.
Mm.
And Pensa have like taken those people and made them like actual children of God personally. But then, yeah, if you bring someone from like Harbour, like new Christian, like into that environment, it might just be just too out of their depth. But I don't know, at the same time, like, God can speak. Like,
true. And also, I feel like they need to see that world though. That's a serious world, rather than the whole, like you would say,
Prosecco on the beach.
Prosecco on the beach type vibe. Because like life, if you deep it, it's not a game. It's literally life and death, right? And sometimes if you kind of sugarcoat what the word says, it's dangerous, man. Because you're playing with someone's life.
Yeah, totally.
So it's trying to get that balance between life is not really a game and not scaring people.
Yeah.
And how do you think we can portray that message across, do you think?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing for me is making sure people's relationship with God is their own. So like even with examples like this, or say if you took like a new Christian to Pensa or whatever, it's kind of like I would want them to be filled and for them to have their own encounter with God, rather than it be like, oh, they're coming to this situation and they have to, you know, manifest the spirit in that certain way that everyone else is doing. You just kind of want people to have their own relationship with God and have their, be filled themselves with the spirit. I don't know.
It's hard because do you ever get like a conviction where like you can low-key decide whether a person goes to hell or heaven? That's how it is sometimes when like you see your friend and it's like, you know, you should, like you can kind of give them the opportunity to give their life to Christ, but then you don't, and then it's like, could I have been that opportunity that God put in place for him, and then you declined it essentially, and then it's like you'll be in heaven, and then you'll be like,
hey,
I remember you.
Now I'm not gonna be looking down because when I'm in heaven, I'm rested. But no, yeah, that's a serious one. That is a serious, serious one. Like even just ministering to people in our lives, and I don't know, when you feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's like you do have that choice to obey or ignore.
Literally.
But you can be the, you know, the choice between heaven and hell in that moment. You can be the choice between, you know, healing and them leaving to go home still sick, or them being delivered, or them going home still with demons. Like, you can be that choice in that moment.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, we took this pressure when we gave our love to Christ.
We did.
Well, see, that's the thing with the Prosecco on the beach type thing, because, like, most of the people that do that never know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Prosecco on the beach is more like just how sometimes when you go to certain churches, right, they kind of give you, like, a watered-down version of Christianity, and like it's like, oh, when you join us, everything's gonna be fine. God is gonna save you, all your problems,
no troubles.
Everything's it's gonna be like smooth sailing from
Hollywood lifestyle.
You know what I mean? It's just all everything you used to deal with from the past is all gone. You know what I mean? And like no evil around you. You know, you just go on. You get what I mean?
That's like how they. It's a lie.
You know, So like that's the prosecco on the beach. So I feel like sometimes obviously it's like it's a way of trying to make it easier for people who aren't Christian to get along, because if you scare them the first time they come in, oh my gosh, like, I didn't know there was all this, you know. And sometimes that might be the wrong thing to do, but that version, the prosecco on the beach version, kind of leaves people like, you know, very like, you know, shifty, and not they don't have any substance, you know, and they don't know what's going on around them, you know. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's getting that balance that's the true skill and the true difficulty as well, because like we can't feed them a lie. That's just what is that about? Yeah. That's not how it should be. But at the same time, like you said, if we scare them, will they be scared from like Christianity as a whole? Because that'll be all that they see. So it's getting that balance. That's why, like with Pensa, it's hard to kind of get a new Christian to come to Pensa, because you're not sure what they're going to get from it.
Yeah, I hear that.
But then, I don't know, man.
I do hear that. But at the same time, I think, personally, I find it so important to get people to not get their main spiritual food at church. Like, say, like, even with the church we go to, we're very quite evangelical. Like, we want to preach a message where someone new comes in, they can absorb it.
Yeah.
And be okay with that. Rather than, you know, trying to hit these hard Christians into it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just feel like we should emphasize people to, at home, that's when they get fed, that's when they get filled, that's when they have their serious encounters with Jesus. It should actually be by yourself, like your own church at home. I feel like that's the only way that you could make sure that people get the truest and the most pure form of whatever the Holy Spirit's trying to say.
Yeah.
Because Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelist, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, we don't
know the needs. I can work in ways that we can't even talk about.
We can't meet the needs of every single person on a Sunday. But when you go home, you can be directly with the Father.
Yeah.
And he can tell you whether you need to hear about hell or whether you need to hear about the grace.
Yeah.
Like, he knows.
No, you're right. Do you ever see... Because the way you're talking, I'm thinking, like, do you ever see yourself having your own church?
Hey.
In the future?
Not going to lie, I never really wanted my own church because it seemed quite
that's
stationary.
How God works. The thing that you don't want, you'll get.
Hey, God, allow it. Because I was like, oh, it seems kind of stationary. But I don't know. I don't know. I'll do whatever God wants me to.
I can imagine you having your own church.
Hey.
It'll be lit, though. It'll be wavy.
Yeah? As long as I get mosh pits in my church, it'll be fun. Come on, big up Hillsong, guy. Hillsong Mosh Pit Club. Yes, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Or people just get old.
We'd be Bosh Pit, so what a beautiful name, fam. But that bitch comes in the series. You have no...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, you are a Hillsong drummer, you know. And Hillsong is a big, big thing. Like, do you feel cool?
Wow.
Yeah. That's honest, the question I was you know, right? Even I was like, oh, is this...
Do you feel cool? You sound like my 8-year-old sister asking me a question. Do I feel cool? Yeah. No. I feel lucky and privileged to still be a part of Hillsong, even though most of the time I'm here. Hillsong has blessed me so much. I've learned so much and grown through that, but...
For the people that don't know, what is Hillsong?
Oh, Hillsong. Hey, get to know. Are you even saved if you don't know Hillsong?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I joke. But it was a church started in Sydney, and they just spread all across the world, just Europe, Asia. I think there's one opening up in Mauritius now, America, everywhere. There's loads of locations in the UK alone. I went to Hillsong London when I was about 13, 14. And that's where, like, I was serious with Christ. And, got involved in the worship team. No, they're serious. Their craft is serious.
Yeah.
Their worship doesn't come by chance. Yeah. Like,
you're right. I mean, there's some haters out there that say that the music now is very repetitive.
Really?
Yeah, like, it feels the same. Like, every album that they released, now, it's just the same. Rinsed.
I mean, I guess that's why they're now split up.
Do you feel offended with those claims?
No.
That's cool.
I should be offended, fam. No, but like now Hillsong, like they're split up. They're like Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United, Hillsong Young and Free, even Hillsong Kids.
Yeah.
So it's like you can get different sounds in a year. There'll be like four different albums. So why are you complaining?
It's true.
Maybe I'm offended.
Haters out there, shut up.
Why are you hating? Hey,
you go try and make albums for millions of people. Huh?
Huh? Right?
But yeah, bringing it back to university, do you think it's healthy for an individual to get into a relationship in uni? Or do you think that they should use uni to focus on themselves and like finding out who they are?
Well, Izzy, Taz, is this a question from you guys?
It's just a question.
No, it's just a question.
I'm going to make it a mess.
Dead. No, Gala, I forgot the question. Say again.
I said, do you think it's a good idea for individuals coming into uni to get into relationships, or do you think they should use it to find themselves and focus on who they are before finding the right person?
Mm. I mean, to be fair, there's no blanket answer for that kind of thing, because everyone's different and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I would personally always recommend, like, relax and seek God.
Yeah.
And wait on him and don't, like, figure it out and wait for him to say yes. Because what I've noticed is some of my friends, like, relationships, they'll kind of set everything up.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I'm waiting for God to say yes. Whereas I would be like, oh, why don't you just wait for him to order the steps rather than you forcing the steps and waiting for him to like tick it off. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
But no, yeah, it's different for different people. Some people are just ready. Like, I remember I knew a couple of my church, like, they were married at like 18, 19.
Wow.
Yeah, some people are just ready, innit? But
that's,
other people.
That's ready.
That's ready!
Yeah, that's ready, bro.
18, 19.
Can you imagine? Jesus
that's
is
straight out of high school.
Yeah, but, literally.
No, yeah, I think...
It depends on the person, right?
You have to be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself, like...
Yeah.
Am I genuinely ready with, like, the hardships of relationship as well? Am I genuinely ready to have my time so taken up that I can't be as invested in God as I would be single? Like, am I genuinely ready? Be honest.
I get that.
No, yeah, you have to be. Otherwise, you're living a lie.
You're living a lie. But hey, whenever anyone comes to me, like... Okay, normally people don't, like, I'm not a relationship guru, lol. But if anyone asks me about their relationship, I'm like, break up. Just always, it's just my initial thing.
Why? That's so harsh.
That is so hard.
Imagine, like, they took the time to come to see you. Like, they literally thought about coming to see you, how to phrase a question, and then your first response is,
break up.
Call me a hater. I don't know why. I'm just always like, nah, break up.
Why?
So, guys, if you ever came to me, Jenny, like, oh, Kippy, what do you think about my relationship? You know, I'd be like, Taz, break up. I'd be like, Izzy, break up.
Is there a reason behind that?
I don't know.
Psychology tactics.
Hey, I could just be like one of them subconscious men are trash kind of people.
Okay.
I'm joking. Okay.
Hey,
let's go.
We
talked about this before.
Hey, I don't know.
Hey, I'm used to it. I don't know.
I think it's just. I think I just like. Understand that you can live just in the kind of way that Paul kind of explained it, like, I wish you were solely devoted to God, but obviously we do have a gift of marriage and it's pleasing to the Lord to still, you know, be in relationship, be married. But I guess I'm also quite aligned with Paul in the terms of when you're single and you're going for God, there's nothing like it. That's why I'd always be like, break up, because you could be single and going for God and could be mad.
So would you be upset if your calling was to be single for the rest of your life?
No.
Would you be upset if your calling was to get married later on?
Dead. I mean, kids, innit?
So, for the sole purpose of having kids, you get into... Not the human companionship.
For the procreation of it, you know what I'm saying?
It's just the kids. That's.
I mean, obviously, all that stuff is great. Have someone it's to cool make me that. Dinner once in a while. You know, make my bed warm before I get into it. Things like that. Oh, that's great, but...
But the real reason is the 12 disciples.
Hey, come on. Come on. I can't do it by myself. That's too much money.
Would you
12
not?
12 kids.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Adopting 12 kids would be quite expensive. Would you ever adopt a Chinese kid?
Lord, that was so
specific.
That was so,
yeah, right? I was watching Chinese people.
Wait, don't be so hungry, though.
Would you ever adopt the worst of the worst? The Chinese.
No one said
the
that.
Chinese.
And you guys are taking this out of proportion. Just a no, random country.
I would love, like, a multicultural family. Like, you know when people look at you confused down the street, like, what? Black mom,
kid?
Black dad, but Chinese kid? I would love that. Make my family look like heaven, innit? All the different colours.
Ooh, okay. I've never seen it like that before. Mm.
I like that.
What would you name your first born child if it's a girl?
Hey, I am one of those sad people, aka a girl. So we do have baby lists on our phones.
Wow.
So my first child would be called Azaria.
That's controversial.
Why?
Because my baby gonna be called Azaria too.
I almost called you a witch by accident, sorry. I need to remove that insult.
Character building.
Okay, I'm gonna have to find my man tomorrow and get on this then. So I can steal this name. Listen.
Yeah, that's my girl's. You know that's my girl's name, right? You know that's my girl's. My girl's like baby's name.
Listen, God told me. God told me about this name, so.
Damn. I mean,
well, you got Taz.
Hey, Adam, she told me. Probably God told her too.
I do remember now. Yes, yes. It's okay. We can have both.
Yeah, like it's not an issue, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I was like Azaria Love.
Oh, as in dash love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So maybe.
What about if it's a boy?
Not too sure. There are a bunch of names. I love Elisha. I love Ruben, but we'll see. Maybe I'll give that one to the man. I can't be doing the most.
Fair enough. What is your favourite thing to do in your spare time?
Favourite thing to do in my spare time? Probably just mess around on guitar or bass.
Oh yeah, I forgot you're an international multiple instrument. Sorry about that. What's your favourite instrument, apart from the drums?
Oh, bass.
Really?
Bass. Mm. It's just groovy. And they get to like stand so they can bop.
I mean, it's like they're doing nothing though. I don't lie.
Yeah, because you can't fingers. Even fully hear them as well.
Exactly.
Like, you can't
it's like in the background. You know what I mean?
So it's less, less pressure than drums.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, that is true. What about the triangle? Why is that not getting a mention?
Nah, the triangle is serious, but we leave that one for the Lord.
Are you watching any TV shows?
This is what I was saying, I'm a church auntie. I basically go on Netflix and I type in Jesus or Christian or God and see what comes up. But I've been finding sick things. I've been finding like reenactments of Acts. I found this whole new show. Yeah, it's called AD, guys. AD. Reenactment of Acts. It's lit. You should see the scene where they speak in tongues, man. It's serious. You see like flames on their heads. It's serious. Watch it. I found a Billy Graham doc. I found like some reenactment about Paul. So I just watch stuff like that. I'm a church auntie. Oh, I also watch Bob's Burgers.
Okay. It's the random one. Do you not watch Rick and Morty?
Oh, I did, yeah.
That's wavy.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite TV shows.
Don't put a lot. I can just see it must have taken ages to create, like,
100%.
It's just so crazy.
100%. There's a lot going on in that TV show.
I don't know, I tried to watch it and I was like, wow, people are watching some weird things on TV these days.
It's
like,
weird,
honestly.
But like, it's brilliant. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm waiting for the next one.
What was the last film you watched in the cinema?
It was Dead. Oh, allow me. It was, what was it called? That movie about adoption in America.
Instant Family.
Yeah, it was cute. But who goes to a cinema to watch, like, dramas and comedies? That shouldn't be a thing. You paid coin for big screen, for big surround sound, to then sit there, cry, or say, ha, ha, ha. No! You need to be jumping, you need to be screaming, you need to be tapping the sound. Yeah, you paid coin for that. Otherwise, just come home and watch on your phone. If it's just a drama.
So you don't think cinemas for comedies?
No.
Wow.
No way.
So when is the time for comedy?
At home.
Oh, so no, it's not cinema.
No, that's Dead. That's Dead.
Are you going to watch Avengers when that comes out?
Oh, guys, don't be upset with me, but I'm not a Marvel fan.
That's controversial.
That's very controversial.
I'm not a Marvel.
We're going to have to end this podcast right
now.
Wow.
I feel emotional. I don't know.
I watched Black Panther.
Yeah, you had to.
Yeah, right?
You had to. That's not by choice.
It was the best thing, though, because even my family, like my mum, dad, and like my aunties and uncles, they all went to watch it, and they wore like a like Ugandan trad dress. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Ugandan trad dress. It's like huge shoulders.
What, it came like in cinema like that?
Yeah, fam! Wow. They came in the cinema to watch it.
Wow.
Wow. It was serious.
Did they enjoy the film at least?
They loved it. They loved it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And it like speaks Swahili in like part of it. And my mom was like, I can understand. Yeah. Whenever there's a black film, they all go.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I try to go like watch like, actually, I just realized that going to watch any fictional like fantasy movies with my parents is just like the wrong thing to do.
Why?
Because like, oh, my mom slept. Like, she just slept. We went to watch Aquaman, and she slept. Like, got in, knocked out.
That's my grandma.
And then my dad came out, and he's like, I don't even like these movies. And I'm like, you guys wanted to come. No one asked you. Me and my brother didn't ask you. You guys said, can we come?
Hey. I'll never forget watching Pursuit of Happiness in the cinema with my mom there. My mom and my auntie. They were sobbing. Not crying. Sobbing. Yeah. I was embarrassed. I was so...
When was the last time you cried?
Hey!
That wasn't Jesus related.
Oh. Oh, to be fair, I watched The Shack again, like, last week.
The Shack?
The Shack.
Isn't that a Christian movie?
Oh, yeah.
Not Jesus related.
I forgot. Hey, Spirit of Church auntie. There's no reason then. There's actually no reason. I'm sorry. There is no reason. Maybe that time when I was bullied. Like, private school.
Wow.
There's no reason.
Really?
I honestly can't remember. It's all Jesus related.
All right. But anyways, we all know that you cried last week now.
Thanks. <Yeah. laughs>
She cried last week.
Guys, The Shack is such a serious movie. It's such a serious movie.
I've always seen it, like, but then, like, everyone says, oh, it's sad. This is one of the biggest Christian movies. And I just, that's it.
Passion of Christ, I thought, was the biggest Christian movie. My mom cried at that. My dad slept at that.
Hey!
Really? It was a date night.
Dads,
Date night watching Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the cinema.
Wait,
like,
quick
my mom
question.
And my dad.
Why do you guys think that, like, African dads are never as on it spiritually as African mums?
Because they don't show it as much as spiritual mums.
But I feel like they aren't, regardless if they can show it.
Oh, they aren't?
No.
You don't think that's...
Like, say if there's a prayer meeting, it's only Af mums. Say if we want to initiate prayer in our homes or initiate a family fast, it will be the mum.
I mean, in the Bible, God said he is your helper. He knew that people would be still chilling at home. He knew that people would be chilling at home. So he's like, okay, I know you're going to be watching soccer. You go pray. You go pray for your husband.
No, that's a good point, though. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's strange. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah,
it better change with your generation, guys.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's a pastor, so he's almost there.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But he's more animated than like in terms of the whole spiritual aspect.
Oh, definitely my mom.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Like, yeah, dude, my mom. You know, you could be talking to my mom, and then she unleashes tongues. Like, just unleashes. Like,
mom, how was your day? I was good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just come into the driveway, right? And then she like sees a rainbow. She's like, oh, look at that rainbow. Ah, oh, shut up. I'm like, yo, okay, that's what we doing. Like, should I continue? Should I come? Should I also do it?
Yes, there's pressure in it. Like,
what do I say? I'm telling you, my mom's like prayer warrior. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to be like your mom.
But... Honestly, anything that moves her is, you know what I'm saying? Dude, the grass grew like earlier. Like, you know, it's like winter, then it's like turning to summer. The grass is growing. And she's like, oh, beautiful. The worst one, I remember this one time, we're watching Justin Timberlake, and it was the VMAs, and he had this, like, 20-minute long performance, because he was getting, like, a special award, and my mom was, like, watching it, and you know, Justin Timberlake's lit, so he's performing song after song, and she's like, oh, amen. Amen. Oh, wow, he's so gifted, oh, God, amen. And I'm like... Yeah, that's just a too late, bro. Like, hey, Jesus.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, so she's like, she's really like there.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, the aunties out there didn't.
But I would say, but my mom's special because I feel like even in church, she's also one of those, like, she's also just by herself in her own little thing as well. Because as soon as, like, praise, she's like the first one at the front dancing. Yeah, like, as soon as the song comes on, she's like, I'm on it.
Hey, yeah, come on.
That's the same.
With, an offering.
With my mom, it's weird because, like, when she's sleeping, and I need to ask her a question. Like, I gently wake her up, and then she goes, Jesus is Christ.
Whoa!
What? Really?
Literally, every time I wake her up from a deep sleep, she shouts, Jesus is Christ.
And I'm like, whoa.
I'm like, what were you dreaming of?
Listen, maybe she's been through something.
Yo, maybe she did something.
I don't know, but like, I wake up and then she says that, and I'm like, you know what? Don't worry. Go back to sleep. I don't want.
Hey, that's serious. No,
yo, it's serious.
That's serious.
Yo, she'd be fine for you, kids. Like.
Yeah. She's doing spiritual warfare in her dreams.
Yo, I'm telling you, the amount of times I've heard her like speak in tongues for hours.
Yeah,
that's why
going to bed hearing your mom speaking in tongues
for hours. I'm like, how do you have the stamina,
dude? That's how I say. I know I'm surviving. I know I'm gonna be successful.
Yeah, nah, yeah, I am protected.
I am protected
by force.
Literally, and my kids are protected as well.
Hey,
honestly,
generation. Wait. Do you guys believe in generational curses?
Of course, yes.
But it, like, I don't see how that's fair though.
What do you mean
on the kids? Because obviously they come into the world and then they're cursed because of what happened, like, through their ancestors. How is that fair on the kids?
I mean, evil is not fair. It's just evil, isn't it?
It's sad to hear that, like a newborn baby is going to have a troubled life because of the sins of your ancestors.
It's more like...
Well, it can be broken.
Yeah, it can be broken. It's more like the same way, like, everyone's called a sinner because of Adam. Not necessarily because they started sinning.
That
as
is
as they
the generational
out.
Curse.
Yeah. The ultimate generational curse.
That started it. But even then, like, some people go on to have good lives, even though, you know, they don't deserve it compared to other people. So that's why, I don't know, it saddens me when I hear about generational curses.
Wow, why do you think you have some?
Hell no, I'm protected, like I said. When I hear my mom goes, Jesus Christ.
Hey, you know,
I know. You know. Thank you.
I'm taking that one.
If I just think of generational curses the same way I was thinking of sickness or someone being deemed...
Woo! Oh my gosh.
She was rapping.
English.
Ellipse.
Mama.
You...
Bring it back. DJ, rewind. No. Yeah, I just think of the same thing as I would with, like, sickness and demon possession. It's just like, oh, it sucks that we live in that kind of world because we flopped in the garden. But everything can be burnt.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, everything can be broken through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's what Christ is saying. Hey, God.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, at least you got to that.
Yeah. On that note, I think it's time to wrap up this,
I'm upset.
This episode. But last question.
Wait, first of all, I promise English is my first language, guys. Okay.
Quick disclaimer.
Yes, continue.
In 10 years' time, provided everything goes right in your life, right, according to plan, where do you see yourself?
So I would be 30.
Damn.
I feel like I'm a terrible person to ask this kind of question because I have no life plan at all. I guess by 30, if I'm going to marry... If I'm going to be married, yeah, that was... The English is coming. If I'm going to be married, I would probably be married by then.
Okay.
I assume.
With six kids so far.
No!
Because you want two of them, right?
So yeah, I don't know.
You need to get that
promises. I think God might just add years to my life. But, yeah, maybe with a one at least. 30, allow me. One max.
Okay.
And then I guess just talking about the days of, you know, when I was 20... And I was dreaming of revival.
Yeah.
And we've been living in it.
When you're on this episode, this podcast.
Yeah. Talking about my brothers who broke up with their girlfriends because I told them to. Jokes!
Yeah, that got you going, bro.
Wow!
I'm joking!
I was not even expecting
that. I'm so random.
Back in my own.
Oh, I'm joking. Okay, no, but yeah, in all honesty, just in the middle of whatever... whatever God's planned, and I have no idea, so I can't give you a great answer.
But you'll be happy, right?
Oh, of course, I'm happy now. Aww. Happiness is regardless of whatever happens.
Out of 10, how happy are you?
Hey, 100.
What about in first year? How happy were you?
Still 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Outside of Astoria?
I don't think I've ever had an issue with joy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Even when you were bullying people?
Dead, yeah. Okay, to be fair, that was... Nah, that's different. But no, I've never had an issue with joy. And whenever I did, I always just rebuked it and it went away.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been. blessed with that. The gift of joy.
Well, we've been blessed with your presence in this episode. We loved having you. Good conversation.
It's been great.
Anything you want to say?
No, it was good. It was good. I appreciate you coming.
Yeah. Any words of wisdom to people out there going through stuff?
Wow, going through stuff.
Just any wisdom.
Any words of wisdom? I guess the biggest thing for me is like, God cannot fail you, and He promises to never forsake. So whatever you need, you can get it through Jesus. Everything you need is in Him. So I've come to a stage in my life, rather than praying for certain deliverance or certain, I don't know, financial help or whatever, I just pray for Jesus to just turn up. He just knows what we need in every time. Go to Him. Don't go just for a church.
Yeah.
Or just for religious sake to read your Bible. Go to Jesus to meet Him Himself.
Yeah.
And He will meet you. He promises to.
True.
Amen to that. Yeah. On that note, it's been your boy Izzy.
Yeah.
It's been your boy Ted.
And we'll catch you soon.
Yes.
Catch you later.
Hopefully we better shape up.
I'm wearing a cap, so she's talking about one person.
Wow. Sorry, peace out.